Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
I can say that about 15 years ago, the path for my life and my walk of faith certainly took a turn for the better when I was allowed to go on a medical mission trip with the Graymeer congregation. So this morning I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to be able to all of the ministers together to be able to share a mission sermon with you and to be able to invite you to join us in some big plans that we're going to be making for the congregation. This morning we're talking about the purpose of the church, and specifically my aspect to talk about is the purpose of the church in evangelism. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus told his disciples, "Go therefore and teach all nations," or "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you even to the end of the age." What Jesus was saying to his disciples was that the church is the vehicle that he's going to use in order to reach the lost. That's you and me. So what he's saying, of course, is that you and I, we're the ones that need to be out and talking to others. As we're going, as Christians, as we're going, wherever it is we go, we need to be talking to others about Jesus and trying to make disciples. As we look into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, and we trace the beginning of that church that Jeff read about and that we're talking about this morning, in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, we can notice that the New Testament church started its mission at home as they started to carry out the commands that Jesus gave to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, just before he ascended into heaven, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the earth." And that sort of serves as an outline for the book of Acts. It serves as an outline for the spread of the gospel throughout the world. You can look in Acts chapter 2 and see that outline unfolding as Acts 2:41, about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. You can go on a little bit further into Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 as persecution has arisen against the church and the disciples are spread out throughout the area. But it says they scattered into Judea and Samaria, which is the second part of that outline. But as they went there, they were telling others about Jesus. And it says they made it all the way to Antioch in Acts chapter 11. And then in Acts chapter 13, we see that plan, that outline unfolding even further as the church in Antioch then sends Paul and, of course, others at the same time, sending them out on missionary journeys to take the gospel throughout the world. So the New Testament church, they started their fulfilling their mission. They started at home. But we can also think about the way in which they went about carrying out that mission. And we could also say that they started by going house to house in one aspect. In Acts 5:42 it says, "And every day and in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." Our purpose as Christians, our purpose as the church, is to make disciples. And that's done by teaching. New Testament Christians taught in the church building. They taught in from house to house. They taught in the workplace and in the marketplace and wherever they went. And that's what we ought to be doing. Each day as Christians, wherever it is that we're going, we ought to be seeking to make disciples. I have no doubt also that the New Testament church went about doing good things for others, serving others, helping others in any way that they could. But those things should be accompanied by teaching. We're very good at doing those types of things. We're very good today about feeding the hungry, healing the sick, clothing the poor, and we should do all of those things. But we should make sure that we're teaching as well. Because if we feed the poor, or if we feed the hungry, and clothe the poor and heal the sick, but never teach them, then they're still lost. So all of those good things that we do as part of mission trips here at Graymeer, we accompany those with teaching, with evangelism. because we want people's souls to be saved. We want to make disciples. This morning we're talking to you about what we're calling Big Week. And I believe Chad's going to explain a little bit more when he talks about Vacation Bible School about why we're calling it the Big Week. But the Big Week's going to take place, I say at Graymere, it's going to really take place in Columbia by Graymere on June 23rd through 29th of 2016. But what we're wanting is we're wanting all of Graymere to be involved in this mission trip. While it's going to take place in Columbia, Tennessee, it's still a mission trip because Columbia, Tennessee, we believe, is one of our mission points. And there's going to be a job for everyone. When we go on foreign mission trips, a lot of times it's difficult to take a larger number of individuals with us. Sometimes finances prevent that. Sometimes physical abilities or the difficulties of a trip. But we're going to stay right here at home. And we want to invite every single Graymere member to be a part of the Big Week with us. And as we saw in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, how the New Testament church started to carry out its purpose at home, we're going to do that very thing. We're going to start right here at home in Columbia, Tennessee. Graymere does a great job of taking the gospel throughout the world. We were in India last week. Graymere does a great job of taking the gospel to our surrounding area. We were in Arizona last month. But in June 23rd through 29th next year, let's do a great job of sharing the gospel right here at home. Because there's people here, we believe, that need Jesus. But we also believe there's lots and lots of people here in Columbia that want to know about Jesus. So in 2016, let's do that here in Columbia. My specific area is evangelism, and so we're going to do evangelism from house to house. We're going to go into houses that surround our area, but also we're going to try to go into areas that we feel will be a little bit more receptive to the gospel. And we're going to do this on June 23rd through 25th. We're going to bring in some of our missionaries to spend the week with us and to help us as we go house to house teaching others. But we want to invite you, every single one of you, to make plans to be a part of this mission trip. We're giving plenty of advance warning because we want everybody to treat it just like a mission trip, to go ahead and make plans, whether it's with work or family, to be off and to be available to work with the church that week. We want to invite you to be a part of Big Week. We believe that together we can work together and that we can produce some really big results for Jesus.
We are very excited to announce this morning Big Week, and we're excited to get this going, and we've been talking about it for months now, and I'm sure you've seen a couple of the different posters and things, but we are looking at the different purposes of the church and the purposes that we're going to use during Big Week, specifically next year. My task was teaching you about the church's purpose in teaching. And Acts 2:42 could be considered a purpose statement for the church. Acts 2:42 says this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. According to this verse, the purpose and the activities of the church should be teaching first biblical doctrine, providing a place of fellowship for the believers, observing the Lord's Supper, and praying. But you'll notice first on that list is teaching. Sound biblical teaching. It's the foundation of everything that we do. It's the foundation of everything that is done here at Graymere. We are blessed every week to hear Andrew give us a message from Scripture from this very podium. We're even more blessed when we can go to Bible classes and we can dive deeper into the Word and we can look at what it means for us in our lives and what God would have us to do and what God's will is in our lives. But the church is to teach biblical doctrine. That's just a fancy word for teaching so that we can be grounded in our faith. Ephesians 4:14 tells us this. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. My father used to build outdoor patios, outdoor decks. He would come and basically kick my bed on Saturday mornings about 6:30 a.m. and say, get up, let's go, we got to go work. And that's what I would do, is I would help him when I was a young person. I would help him on Saturdays build those outdoor decks. We'd get some extra money from that. And it was interesting what we would do. We would spend hours, if not the whole morning, just building the foundation. We were digging post holes. Actually, I was the one digging the post holes. My dad was the one watching. And we would dig the post holes, and we would dig, and we would pour the concrete, and we would make sure that the foundation was secure so that the deck did not collapse under its own weight. The church teaches because we need a solid foundation. We teach because we stand on God's Word, and it is the truth in the purest form. And that is one of the basics that we're going to spread the gospel, spread the truth throughout Big Week of next year and throughout the rest of the entire year as well. This truth, this foundation is what we teach. It's what we teach in the pulpit. It's what we teach in Bible classes. It's what we teach to our families at home. It's what we teach and hope to teach to our community. Graymere has taken the charge for many years, as Jonathan just mentioned, to preach the gospel to all creation in places like India and Peru and Arizona. But next year, we're going to zero in on this community. Part of that will be Vacation Bible School. We're going to have a Vacation Bible School centered around our big theme. Everything is going to be working, this local mission trip, Vacation Bible School, and what we're going to be, Andrew's going to be talking about, our Big Questions Columbia, our adult Bible classes that are going to be working in concert with this entire big theme. And we're going to talk about we're going to talk with our kids, and we're going to say that even little people can do big things. We're going to do all the different great things and activities, and we're going to try to spread the gospel to those kids to create this solid foundation, even so young in life. We want to challenge the entire congregation to help us in this endeavor and teach the gospel to our community and take this community for Christ.
The next thing that we want to look at this morning when we think about the church's purpose is the church's purpose in service and serving. This congregation does an unbelievable job of trying to meet the needs of those in our community. And we'll see a great example of that in about a week when this auditorium is filled with people who come to our giveaway day. And many of you have worked hard for the last several weeks preparing for that and will be here on that day. And that's just a testament to the kind of job this congregation does in trying to meet the needs of those in our community. With our big campaign that we want to do next summer, we hope to take that just to another level. And to be able to try to incorporate everyone in our congregation in a way that we can serve our community. There are many reasons for us to do this, but this morning, briefly, I just want to focus on two reasons why this should be a big part of our campaign. The first reason is this: the church needs to be doing. James chapter 2, verses 14 and 18, the Bible says this: "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" This is an interesting passage where James is talking about the importance of us believing and having faith, but also how that faith should produce action. Our faith should produce action. And one of the parts of this campaign and the service part is that we want to be able to put our faith into action. Just one chapter before that, in James 1, verse 22, James says, "Be doers of the word." And that's one of the goals that we have as a church family, is to be able to take the gospel message and to put that into action so that people can see that in our lives. The big campaign gives us a great opportunity to put our faith in action by reaching out to our community and making an even greater difference in the lives of the people who live in this community. The second reason that the church needs to be about service is that we need to be a light. For any of our teenagers who sit in Bible class or go to the YAC or who have gone on a retreat, they hear me talk a lot about being a light and how important it is for us to be a light to the people around us in our community. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible reads, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We want to do service in our community so that people can see that our faith is in action. Not so that people look at us or the Graymere congregation and think, man, that's just a lot of good people. But so they can see our faith in action, that we can point them towards God and they can give Him the glory. Our hope and our prayer is that by being servants in the community, that really this will open up doors for us. Not just to be able to help meet someone's physical needs, but hopefully a door will be open where the gospel message might be preached. You'll see a couple pictures that will be scrolled up there and just show some different opportunities we've had, or we've taken our youth group and our young people to different places to be able to be a light for people to see their faith in action. And so as I kind of close up my part this morning, I just want to sort of try to answer a question that maybe you're asking in your mind as far as the service part of this, and that is, what can I do? And I'm glad you asked that question, because I have a few suggestions for that. First, from now until this summer, as our campaign begins, we want to be seeking out people that we can help in our community. We've already been compiling a list over the past several months of places and people who we could potentially go and help and meet physical needs and do things for. But you all, as part of this congregation and being in the community and the way that you are, we want to put our ears to the ground and see if we can find more people to help. And so if you have any suggestions, or if you know someone who we can meet a physical need, or if you know of somewhere we can be of service next summer, please let one of us know so that we can put that down. And obviously, we may not be able to meet all the needs that are in our community, but we want to try to meet as many as we can through this campaign. Secondly, and maybe even most importantly, we need your hands and your feet. We need your hands and your feet. There's a picture that will pop up here in a second, or maybe it's already popped up, that shows our youth group. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we went to Baker Elementary School, and we had about 25 kids show up that day, and their catwalk outside of their school was in really bad shape. All the paint was peeling off the post, and it just really looked bad, and they had just asked us if there was a way that we might be able to help out with that. So we took 25 teenagers over there, and had a few adults who helped out, and we all got there. We were looking, we thought, man, this is going to take forever to do. You know, there's so much work to be done. But it was amazing to see how 25 teenagers came out, how quickly they were able to complete that project. It still amazes me to this day to see what a large group of people can do in a short amount of time, no matter how big the job is. So we need your hands and your feet. Because I can't help but wonder, what a congregation this size, what can we accomplish over the course of 3 days? If a congregation our size, if everyone brings their hands and their feet and they're willing to work to serve our community, can you imagine the impact that we could possibly make? The work project portion of the big campaign will take place on June 27th, 28th, and 29th. These are also the same days as our vacation Bible school. And so our plan is, we will get up in the morning and we will work during the day, and we'll go out in our community and we'll do service projects. And then in the evenings, we'll come back and we'll do our vacation Bible school. Now, I know that may seem like a long day, but if you've ever had the privilege to go on one of the mission trips to Peru or to Panama or to Phoenix, you know that's very much what a day is like. You wake up and you work, and you work until you go to bed at night, and you try to serve in all the ways that you can. That's our plan that we want to try to accomplish right here in Columbia. Please be praying for all those that may be able to help. We're excited about those in our congregation to participate, but we also want to be praying for those that we're going to try to help as well, and see if we can't open those doors up, make an impact in their life. And I just ask that you would go ahead and mark these dates on your calendar, be praying about these dates. One of the reasons that we wanted to get this information out now, even though it may seem like it's such a long ways away, is that I know for many of us, if we want to do that, we may have to take off of work or ask for vacation time and do those things. And I just want to ask that you might consider doing that, in hopes that we can be a light in this community and people can see our faith in action, and because of that, they can give glory to God because of what we're able to do in their lives.
I'm going to ask you if you would, in the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about a couple of areas of Scripture. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 through 18, if you could mark that in your Bible, we'll be back to that in just a moment. And then turn over to Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. We'll be making some comments about that. What I'm going to be talking about for the next couple, 3 minutes is how that as those of us that have reached our senior years, our golden years, I'd like to call it, how that we can mentor and how that we can bear fruit as we reach those golden years, that older age. And first of all, I'd just like to read Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him." You know, as I read that and seeing what was the psalmist or the whoever wrote that particular psalm, what he was saying is that, you know, that's something that all of us are going to have to face. We're going to face getting older. That's just part. That's part of it, and it's going to be a point in our life that we're going to retire from our jobs, whatever we're doing. But you know, because we retire from our jobs and whatever, that doesn't mean that we retire from life. Life goes on. We can still be active. We need to be active and involved in the work of the church. The work of the church isn't just limited for the younger people and for those that are younger that are full of strength and energy. This, I have to share with you at this time. I know this has been told before. Some of you may not have heard this, but Roger Riddle, one of our elders, approached me at one time and said, "You know, Jack, how do you feel working with these young men, these other ministers here at Graymere?" And I told Roger, I said, "I'm going to make you this promise. I am not going to let them hold me back." So that's kind of the attitude that I have about that. And that's the attitude that I would like for us that are into our senior years. That's the attitude that we need to have. And we need to be involved in, for the ones of us that have and continue to have a fresh outlook on life. There is so much that we can do as far as working with the younger. We have so much experience, so much that we can offer to them, just a lifetime of experience that we can offer to these young people, the younger ones, and then what we are, and challenge them to reach higher points of spiritual growth. And that's what I want to encourage at this time. Quickly, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verses 12 through 18, and I want to read that quickly. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth. And the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given this one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not a hand, I did not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, who would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And You know, Paul, he's comparing the church to a human body. All the parts. And we all have a purpose. We all have a function. And for that body to function properly, we've all got to do our part. And that's what I'm saying. Just because we have, reached the senior years of our life, I encourage you not to get the attitude that you know that we have nothing to offer or nothing to do in the church. You know, to the contrary, we have much to offer. And it's just like the big campaign that's coming up. There are so many things that's going to need to be done from now until then. And I want to encourage the seniors that, you know, there's a part in that for us. And we can share in that, and we can help to make this an overwhelmingly success. So let's be prayerful about that, encourage each one to be involved in it.
I hope you can see now why we're so excited about the opportunities that we already have and the opportunity to prepare for something that will be a wonderful campaign this coming summer. What I love most about this, as we've talked about it and discussed it, is every aspect of this that we're planning out is just an extension of what God has called His church to do and just an extension of what this church family is doing. You all don't necessarily have the privilege I do of getting to be at the building a lot of times during the week, but it's amazing to see everything that takes place through this building. When we think about our call to evangelize and think about the evangelism taking place locally, whether it's bringing someone to a worship service or even the six baptisms our jail ministry has recently been able to experience, or correspondence courses taking place, when we think about the ways there's service that's being done, as we have meals being delivered, or we have our clothes closet that's actively giving at the outreach center, or we're preparing for giveaway day, our benevolence ministry that's such a vital part of helping others, whether we think about the teaching that takes place in Tuesday, Thursday school or in our Bible classes, whether we think about the senior activities that Jack does such a great job directing, in all of those ways, what we're wanting to do in this campaign is sort of have one week where we bring all of those and focus them together. And as we've already mentioned, there's going to be a lot taking place. The week will begin with going door to door, not only to tell people about our Vacation Bible School and the big questions that we'll have in our adult Bible classes, but also to get opportunities to study the Bible. And we'll have chances over these next few months to train and be ready for that when that opportunity comes up. When we think about the service projects during the day, the Vacation Bible School that's going to be at night, one of the last things we'd like to focus on is how we'll respond to our community during this week. Acts 17 contains probably one of the best-known sermons in Scripture, and one of my favorite biblical passages, where Paul stands up, and on Mars Hill, he's talking to people who believe very differently than him, but he's telling them about Jesus. He's explaining the gospel to people from different backgrounds. But sometimes we forget what happens leading up to that. What we find out in verse 16 of Acts 17 is that Paul was waiting at Athens, and his spirit was provoked within him. He was observing the city full of idols. And when Paul's spirit was provoked, he didn't withdraw from the city. He didn't see something in that community and said, "This isn't right. I'm just going to sort of take a step back. I'm not going to be involved in it." He decided, "I'm going to see if I can make a difference." And so he goes to the synagogue, and he starts talking to the Jews that are meeting there, and he goes to the marketplace. We probably don't have an accurate counterpart to the marketplace today there in Athens. If you were to go there today, you'd see sort of an empty area. But at the time Paul was there, that was where business was done. That's where people met. That's where commerce took place. That's where the action was. That's where the community was. And so Paul went into the marketplace. He went everywhere he could go. And as a result of that, people started asking questions. In verse 18, Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, who would have had a very different background than Paul, were saying, what is he talking about? What would this idle babbler wish to say? He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. In verse 19, they said, may we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears, and we want to know what these things mean. The sermon Paul preached on Mars Hill was a response to a question. The question was, you're in our community. You're talking to us about Jesus. We don't understand it. Can you tell us what you mean? And so they were asking a question, and Paul was happy to respond. As we think about this campaign, there's going to be an element of it where we're going to be focused on responding to questions. We have a big opportunity when it comes to this campaign, an opportunity to reach out to others that we want to take advantage of. Every year during Vacation Bible School, we have adult Bible classes, and we're going to have a special focus on answering some big questions. We'll have advertising in our community. Chad has already set up a website that people will be able to go to, and the question will be this. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? And we can get responses from all around Columbia, people who would either go to the website, there'll be an email address they can use, a number they can text to get a question in. We'll compile all of those questions, and we'll find out which questions rise to the top as being the most commonly asked questions. That will be the basis of our Bible classes during Vacation Bible School. So we'll tell people if they've submitted a question, we'll let them know when and how we'll be addressing that. We'll have some guest speakers that will come in to supplement in certain areas where they have specific training, whether it's Christian evidences, whether it's areas about Bible history or translation. We want to answer the questions people are asking. And even the questions we can't get to during the big questions time, we will use those as a basis for our TV programs and follow-up through connections and other ways to address those. One of the things that we'll have the opportunity to do is just to be getting the word out, just for months beforehand, letting people know. We'll have different ways to do that, hopefully creative ways to tell people about it, but we want to let them know they have an opportunity to ask a question and that we want to be Christians who will listen. We want to respond to that. And I think this campaign is going to give us a tremendous way to do that. As we've already mentioned, we are talking about it in advance. We want to encourage commitment. We want to encourage you to set aside these days just like you would if you were getting on a plane and going on one of the mission trips to Peru or to Arizona, that you would be willing to take time off work, that you'd be willing to reserve time in your schedule to be involved in whatever ways you can. There will be places and opportunities for everyone. I like to picture the way we're going to see the involvement on giveaway day, where everybody's working together. All the parts of the body that Jack mentioned are working together. That's what's going to happen in this campaign. We're going to have some big opportunities. And ultimately, we'd like to start praying right now, praying for people whose lives we can reach in our ministry here, but also people whose souls can be reached during this campaign. It's a big opportunity to respond to questions. Of course, we're only going to be prepared to respond to those if we've responded to the God who gave us His Word. As we've looked all throughout Scripture, we've seen that Jesus came to establish His church, and the good news of the gospel is you can be part of that church today. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to begin walking with Him, or if you just need to come back to the church, we'd love to encourage you in any way we can. If we can help you, please come as we stand and as we sing together.